Today on CityCast Chicago. Nobody likes to think about what happens to their bodies after they die, but it is an important decision. And a bill expected to see a House vote this week in Springfield will give Illinoisans a new environmentally friendly option. It's called natural organic reduction. State Representative Kelly Cassidy is sponsoring the bill and tells producer Simone Alisea all about this human composting. It's Wednesday, March 22nd. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago is Talking About.
Representative Cassidy, welcome to CityCast Chicago.
Thanks so much for having me.
You actually had updated your own will to indicate that this is what you would like to happen to you.
I did.
Why is that?
So I was going in for surgery recently and sort of in that, you know, just the things you do, the housekeeping things you do in advance of what was relatively major surgery. One of the questions was, you know, the disposition of your remains, which I had never really addressed because all of the options seem less than ideal. Burial uses land. We don't have enough land as it is. Cremation has emissions issues, as well as, and most people don't know this, cremains themselves, the ashes, are actually really damaging to plant life. And then the option that was suggested as the most accessible green option, because we do have green burials here in Illinois, but they're incredibly limited and cost prohibitive. And that's where you're able to be buried in the ground without benefit of embalming. For me, the use of the land remains a problem. So, you know, that doesn't solve it. For me, it's also pretty expensive. But there's another process called alkaline hydrolysis or aquamation, which involves putting the body in a large metal vessel that gets pumped full of superheated water. And at the end of that process, the liquid waste, for lack of a better way to describe it, goes down into the wastewater system. That means your body is dissolved and in the wastewater system. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's a whole thing. When they shared this, you know, here's, you'll love this. You don't need to pass your bill. You'll love this aquamation. I was mortified. I had the same sure. look on my face that you had when I asked, so where does the water go? And he pointed to a hose running into a floor drain. It was like, oh my God.
So was this decision for you more about an environmental issue or is it more a spiritual issue of like, here's what's happening with my body after I'm gone?
So, I mean, why not both, right? So I was raised Catholic. I never felt like burial in a cemetery was appropriate for me. I converted to Judaism. I had sort of defaulted on cremation. Cremation is very, very, very frowned upon in Judaism, and burial in 24 hours is the approach. And so I really was sort of without a home in terms of what I wanted to have happen until I learned about this. You know, I had a really interesting conversation with one of my very conservative Republican colleagues last week, where in response to the Catholic Church pushing back on this and how it and suggesting that it does not respect the dignity of the human body, they actually pointed out in some ways this is more biblical than any of the other processes that exist, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, the whole bit. This is the way to know that you truly are returned to the earth. And so for me, it is an environmental piece. It's also, to whatever extent it matters what happens to our bodies, this one feels right to me. This feels the most right and the most right for my belief system.
Can you just tell us, what is this process, natural organic reduction?
Sure. This has been legalized in 6 other states. And what happens in a natural organic reduction is your body is placed in a chamber, not unlike a coffin, with some dry materials that, you know, anybody who composts in their garden understands the balance of, you know, what goes into that. So you're placed in the vessel with some dry materials. It takes about 30 to 60 days, depending on the size of the body. And at the end of that process, you are left with about a cubic yard, which can also be visualized as an F-150 truck bed, of incredibly nutrient-rich compost. In fact, it is so rich that you cannot plant directly in it. If you did, you would burn the roots of the plant. It actually has to be diluted and spread out and mixed with soil. It helps to restore areas that have been undermined from environmental disasters, for example. So there's a lot of options that happen then.
Do you have an idea for what you would want the soil to be used for?
So the reality is that's a bunch of soil. Right?
Like F-150 truck.
It's a lot. So what most of the operators in this space actually do is, you know, give a token amount of some sort, like whatever the family wants, right? So let's say, you know, I'm one of seven kids and we did this with one of my parents. We would all get some of it. And then, for example, there's a place in California that has purchased conservation land that needs to be remediated. And so they are using what folks don't want, and they're using that to help restore that land and build a memorial garden. So there is a place for those who feel a connection to having a place to go and be with their loved ones. That does still exist under this possibility. Some of them have partnered with traditional cemeteries who want to reduce their carbon footprint and use less chemical fertilizers. So, you know, there are possibilities for everyone in here, even the folks who are opposed to this bill.
Is this process, natural organic reduction, available to Illinoisans at all right now?
Not right now, but if we pass this law, it will be. So in my will, what I said was, if it has become legal in Illinois at the time of my death, I would like it to be done here. If not, and it's not cost prohibitive, go ship me to a state where it can be done. So once we pass this, I'll have to update my will again.
You know, in addition to legalizing this practice, making it available for Illinoisans, obviously this is an industry and you have to regulate it, which is what this bill does. You know, what are some of the considerations you have had to make to ensure that this would be safe and reliable? You know, we don't just end up with sort of rotting remains and mulch or something like that.
Yeah, we definitely, like we're not setting up a situation where you can toss grandma in the garden, okay? That's not what we're doing here. This would be under the care of a licensed funeral director. This would be pretty highly regulated. The vessels and the specifications are spelled out in the bill. Because again, right, you don't want somebody saying, oh, these you know, Rubbermaid tubs or what I'm using. You know, that we're not doing that. This is taken as seriously as any other death care option. There are testing requirements. Another fun fact I learned, there is zero human DNA detectable in that compost.
Huh.
The process breaks everything down to the point where you cannot find any trace of the person that it once was. There are restrictions on how the materials can be used. So not used for commercial food production. You can't sell the compost. There are certain diseases that are prohibited. And that's similar to what we say with all of the other forms as well. You can't have a green burial, for example, if you have tuberculosis, things like that.
You have received some opposition to this bill. Sort of in two waves, and I'm curious, I actually kind of want to talk about that first wave when you first introduced this and about some of the sort of death care industry opposition that initially came to this bill and kind of how you came together on that. Like, what were they sort of coming from and what were sort of the solutions you came to?
So the industry is actually not a singular body. So there are the cemetery operators and there are the funeral directors. The cemetery operators remain opposed, and they're the ones that have ginned up the opposition from the Catholic Church. The funeral directors are the folks that we've spent the last 2 years in conversation with. And, you know, that's how I came to visit the alkaline hydrolysis facility. That's how we came to talk about sort of the barriers to green burial. And so they've been neutralized and have really been pretty decent partners to work with on this. Fundamentally, it's another avenue of care that they can offer. And I suspect that many will. You know, when I went to the alkaline hydrolysis facility, I believe there's only four of them in the state. The guy had been running a traditional funeral home for decades and just added this fairly recently to his practice.
I guess I'm curious, like, what were their initial concerns, some of those funeral directors who were asking questions about this?
So I think a lot of it is, you know, just fear of change, right? And worrying about those possible unintended consequences, right? Once we were able to engage with them and educate them on the process, it's pretty clear that it runs with the same level of professionalism that the other options they offer do. So I think that addressed most of the issues. But they initially were like, we don't need any more green solutions. We've got alkaline hydrolysis and green burial. And you know, I said, okay, let me explore these. And I did. You know, came to the conclusion I came to for alkaline hydrolysis. And, you know, really maintaining that green burial is just not accessible to the majority of folks. And ultimately, you know, for folks who don't believe it's a good use of land anymore, that doesn't solve for that problem.
You've mentioned this a couple times now. The Catholic Church has also come out in opposition to this bill. How are you speaking with them and addressing those concerns?
Well, I mean, ultimately, you know, there is no requirement that anyone offer this service or avail themselves of this service. And, you know, ultimately, the Catholic Church can choose not to do so. Ironically enough, over the weekend, there was a story on the Springfield News about this where they really, I guess they, I wasn't interviewed for it, so maybe they used some testimony from committee or something, but they interviewed someone from the Catholic Conference who they're using just hyperbolic and factually untrue arguments that this is the equivalent of treating grandma like eggshells, or someone else talked about livestock pits.
Just one last thing I wanted to ask. You know, we talked about how some of the uses for the soil that and the compost that you end up with through this process. I am curious, do you have an idea of what you would want to use a piece of that for?
You know, I've kind of gone all around the place. You know, I'm round and round with it. I think it kind of depends on where I am at the time, right? Like, you know, if I still have my family home and my kids want to keep it, then, you know, plant a tree for me, you know? But I also really love the idea of these memorial gardens and the land restoration that can be accomplished from those. So I'm open to whatever what the circumstances dictate when the time comes. Hopefully not anytime soon.
State Representative Kelly Cassidy, thank you so much for taking the time and talking to me about this.
Thanks for having me.
In a statement opposing the bill, the Catholic Conference of Illinois said, quote, turning human persons into compost degrades the human person, pushing instead for burial and cremation. Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. Illinois lawmakers have until July 1st to draw a new district map for Chicago's forthcoming elected school board, and you can now offer public comment by drawing your very own map for consideration. We got Kendrick Lamar, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Billie Eilish, and about 100 other acts scheduled to perform at Lollapalooza in Grand Park this August. Pre-sale tickets start tomorrow. Also, Pitchfork announced their lineup coming to Union Park this July, including The Smile and Big Thief. Festival tickets are available now. The Bulls are back home tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. We ended their 8-game winning streak on Monday. The Bulls are currently in 10th place and desperately holding on to that last play-in spot, so every win matters. There's some good news. to get you through. World Poetry Day was this week, and tomorrow night you can enjoy some poetry, music, and a little speed dating at the Quarry Event Center in South Shore. It's called the Love Jones Experience. I'll drop a link for tickets in the show notes, as well as a link to our episode all about the movie Love Jones. As always, we appreciate you. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. You can write whatever comments you want, even if you're hating on us. We've been here for 2 years. We can take it. I'm going to talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace.
This is the coolest thing about this job, right? Like, I'm known for civil rights legislation. I'm known for criminal justice reform legislation. This opportunity to take a really deep policy dive into something so outside my wheelhouse and get to learn and develop an understanding about an industry I never would have understood otherwise. I mean, that's one of the coolest things about being in a role like this, is having those opportunities. And this has been a really great example of that.